Caroline.
Okay. How's that? Can you hear me? Good. Okay. So, yes, it is a happy Resurrection Sunday today. And it's a great day to celebrate. Of course, every day is a great day to celebrate because the resurrection of Christ, he lives in us. And so it's great to remember this time, though. So we know and we love and we serve a risen Saviour. He's alive. He is risen indeed. So this morning we're going to look at a few scriptures, but one of the ones we'll focus on first is going to be Luke 24. So how are we going with our PowerPoint there? It's not happening? Yep. Okay. So one of the things I'm going to be speaking on is hope. And it's interesting in some of those songs how we talked about the unseen. And it's pretty hard sometimes to have hope when you can't see. But it's great that Jesus has revealed himself to us today. So when Jesus was sentenced to death, his death was witnessed on the cross by his mother, his followers, his friends, and even his enemies. There must have been a sense of loss and a lack of hope among his friends. So the one who they had high expectations of had been taken, he'd been beaten and hung on the cross to die. They may have wondered what was going to happen next. Was this the end? So as the disciples experienced that day-to-day interaction with him, as they walked with him, they experienced his teaching, his ministry, his love and the friendship of Jesus. They were perhaps in shock and disbelief, grief and fear of what was going to happen next. I can just imagine the individual stories that each of these disciples that walked with him daily had. How amazing the things that they got to see and the one-on-one conversations they actually got to have with him. The miracles that they witnessed, the love that they experienced. Many people had not just seen his miracles and heard his teachings, but they had formed really strong relationships and bonds of friendship with him. So that when the events before and after Jesus took place, a sense of despair, discouragement and hopelessness may have been what they felt. And this closely knit group that had followed Jesus were now watching from a distance. So hope. The scripture tells us of hope in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. So it wasn't in the disciples' case a dream. Jesus had actually alluded to some of this, of what was going to happen, but they hadn't seen it in their heart. They hadn't caught quite what Jesus was on about. So we're going to look at the events described in Scripture after Jesus was taken down from the cross and his body was put in the tomb. So we're going to have a reading from Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. Thanks, guys.
Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the tomb rolled away. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day will rise again.'"
So pretty amazing for them to have this feeling of hopelessness, and then, to much to their surprise, they see an empty tomb. How excited the women and Peter must have been, and all of the group there, to have seen Jesus alive and being able to report their findings to the other apostles. Jesus was alive. Jesus also appeared to his followers on the road to Emmaus, and that follows that reading. And Jesus asked questions of these two guys walking along the road to Emmaus. And I think, you know, Jesus really didn't need to ask any questions, but I just love the way that Jesus interacts with people. I love the way that he asks questions and doesn't come out with all the answers. He wants them to experience and understand the answers for themselves. So here he is asking the question in verse 17, what kind of conversations is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And again here, Jesus understands that, you know, they haven't fully understood what had happened and what they were told before that was going to happen. So they were sad. They were sad and wondered why he hadn't heard for himself. The men replied in verse 21, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. They still didn't understand the whole concept of Messiah. Their hopes had been dashed, and they were struggling with what all of the day's events previous to this had meant. For Jesus, the events leading to his death were no surprise and part of God's plan of restoring and saving us, bringing us back into relationship with the Father. So I love this discourse that Jesus has with people. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. He wanted them to have their hope restored, and he revealed himself to them. Jesus wants to renew and restore our hope in him today. Murray's going to bring us a section from 1 Corinthians.
Can you hear me now? Or can you hear me anyway? Easter, you know, is about it, you know, about the hope we have, and we celebrate that every communion time as well. I'm just going to follow on from the scripture Peter read out in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Then he said, this is Jesus, he said to them, these are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true. So I'm just wondering if some people here could tell me, some of the things written down, perhaps the law of Moses might be a bit tricky, but in the prophets or the Psalms are foretelling what was going to happen with Jesus. Psalm 22, yeah, very good. That's Isaiah 53, yeah. Yes, very good. Yep. So there's all these parts in the Old Testament, in the scriptures. The New Testament's the scriptures too, but there's all these parts in the Old Testament that are looking forward to Jesus and him coming to die on the cross so we can be forgiven for our sins. Written down about me in the law of Moses, the writings and the prophets and the Psalms had to come true. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So this, what happened, like in the first Easter, you know, Jesus' death and his resurrection was going to be preached to all nations. So down through time, to all people. I'm getting back to my notes now. Okay, so we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now. This was written by Paul. He was writing to the people who believed in Jesus and who lived in Corinth. And he was writing conversationally. He was writing relationally because he had a relationship with these people. And what he was writing, you know, was also inspired by God. You know, God was with him and helping him to put things down. He probably wasn't aware of that, but that's we know all scripture is inspired by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And I'm going to read down to verse 14, I think. And now I want to remind you, my friends, of the good news which I preached to you, which you received and on which your faith stands firm. That is the gospel, the message that I preach to you. You are saved by the gospel if you hold firmly to it, unless it was for nothing that you believed. I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to all 12 apostles, then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, and afterward to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared also to me, even though I am like someone whose birth was abnormal. For I am the least of the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted God's church. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And the grace that he gave me was not without effect. On the contrary, I have worked harder than any of the apostles, although it was not really my own doing, but God's grace working with me. So then, whether it came from me or from them, this is what we all preach. This is what you believe. So the good news is, like going back to 1 Corinthians verse 3, so the good news is that Christ died for our sins, and that's written in the scriptures. And he was buried, and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the scriptures. And as Paul writes later in verse 11, so then whether it came from me or from them, this is what we all preach, and this is what you believe. So that's it. That's the good news, that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he was raised to life 3 days later. So we sort of have these two types of witnesses, so to speak. One is the people who actually saw Jesus alive again after he died, and they put him in the tomb, and then there was people who saw him. And the scriptures also testify to the truth as well of everything that happened. That Christ, and so just breaking that up, although you know the resurrection and Jesus' death on the cross, they go together as a whole, but just for the sake of my talk, I'm just going to, that Christ died for our sins, we remember that every Good Friday, and we remember that every time we take communion. And today, Easter Sunday, is the time that we particularly remember the resurrection, Jesus coming alive again after being dead. So back to the good news. This is a scripture from the book of Romans. From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, an apostle chosen and called by God to preach the good news. The good news was promised long ago by God through his prophets as written in the Holy Scriptures. It is about his Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is about his Son. You know, we know that saying, oh, it's all about Jesus. That's a good saying. I've heard Kim say that. Yeah. You know, it's not about, you know, it's about Jesus. It is about his Son. The good news is about his Son. Verse 3 in Romans chapter 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to talk about Jesus. As to his humanity, he was born a descendant of David. As to his divine holiness, he was shown by great power to be the Son of God by being raised from the dead. So the good news is about his Son, Jesus, who was God and who was man. And what is that good news? Again, it's that Christ died for our sins, as written in the Scriptures. That good news is about his Son, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life 3 days later. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is what God promised would happen. Jesus' resurrection is like God saying, Jesus died on the cross so we can be forgiven, and here's the proof that that's true, and Jesus came alive again. And sort of a bit of a yesterday picture of this is it's like a check clearing there. If you don't, a check is when in a little book you have these things that you can tear out and you write on them. Some people don't know, you know. It's where us elders think. You write on it an amount of money and you sign it. And so you can give that person, like, say, I could write out a check for $500. I can give a person that, and, oh, wow, and it really is worth $500. But what you do then is you put it in your bank and you say, oh, I want the money. Well, you have to wait for 3 days. And then they'll give you the money. And so, like, if you've got the money in the bank, well, it's... And the 3 days came and sort of like proof that, you know, it's worth $500. And that's a bit like the resurrection, you know, that's proof that the forgiveness of sins is valid. So we can be forgiven for the things that we've done wrong and have that relationship with God and speak to him and he hears our prayers, and that's great. And he does a lot more than that, though. You know, he makes us new inside. And Caroline's going to take over.
So, the gospel is what we hope in. And so after the disciples saw Jesus had risen from their tomb, their hope was renewed. Maybe they remembered some of the things which Jesus taught them. And, of course, it was all contained in the Scriptures, as different ones have said, that it was recorded in the Old Testament. Their faith and resolve became stronger. So what exactly is hope? And how does the resurrection give us hope? So hope, as Romans 8:25, is to look forward to something we don't yet have, but are waiting patiently and confidently for. And of course, we know in reality that's not always easy to do, to wait patiently and confidently we believe God's spoken about something. So the reason we can have hope is 1 Peter 1:21, through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. God is the giver of hope. We can have hope for the future. Jesus is coming again. It's a sure thing, a sure hope. It's a promise. Titus 2:13 tells us the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We have hope, a sure hope, that God has prepared an eternal rest for the believer. So the hope of eternal life is something we hold on to now. It's a living hope. I really like acronyms, And so I enjoyed Marjorie's acronym the other week. They help me to remember things and just give me a bit of a quirky way of, you know, thinking about things. One I found for hope on the internet was hanging on to positive expectations. And I thought, yeah, that's okay. But positive expectations, really, that takes, you know, it could be just a mental positive thinking thing. But with God, it's to do with his promises. So hang on to promised expectations. And I think that that typifies hope fairly well. So what God promises, we can have hope for and we can believe him for. So likewise today, we hang on to the promises with expectation that God will bring to pass his good will and purpose for our lives as we cooperate with him. And of course, we have a part in this. God promises and then we have to work with him to bring what he has to pass to come. Biblical hope is a sure thing, a full salvation, a full assurance and strong confidence in God, which has power to produce changes in how we live. So God is into transformation. This comes as we put our hope and trust in the work that only Christ could do on the cross through and through his resurrection. I'm just going to have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, we live with great hope, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach and change and decay. It's lasting, it's unfallible. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Everything will be revealed. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purified fires gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honour on the day when Jesus Christ revealed the whole world. And of course, we know with the disciples, the resurrection, they went on to carry out what Jesus asked them to do and go and tell them about this gospel message that Murray spoke about. The fact that Jesus did come, came as a man, and they did have many trials and struggles. And of course, that typifies our life today. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. And another great promise is found in Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Surely the disciples were not disappointed. They lived in hope and expected God to work through them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have access to today, to the Holy Spirit. So Hebrews 6:19 tells us that we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And of course we know what an anchor does. It stops the boat from getting tossed around. And so if we stay in that hope and remember that it's not just a wishful thinking, it's firm and secure, and we are secure in him. And how good that is to know that we are secure in him because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and in his resurrection. So living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. He raised again, and he justified us in this. we are so blessed to have this hope, this sure hope. The disciples' hope was restored, and today God wants to restore our hope. He wants to give us that living hope of Christ who lives in us. Because he lives, we can be forgiven, we have freedom, we have hope and life and eternal life. And Christ did all that in his death and resurrection. We can rest in the hope that Jesus brings us, new life, leading to eternal life with Jesus forever. How good is that? Living in the joy of having a living Saviour who understands and knows our every need. So, do you want to come and pray and finish off? Thanks.
Okay, so one of the things I guess, you know, like I get out of today and is that God, you know, he's a good God and he's done great things, and because of the great things he's done, you know, he wants to work in our lives as individuals and make rough paths smooth, sort of thing. But sometimes, you know, like he wants us. Sometimes, actually, the only reason why we grow is because we go through some rough, hard times. But anyway, God is good, and he wants to bless his people, and he wants people to come to know him. And so, I just want to encourage everyone here, you know, like, to, if you've got anything that you want to, that you want someone else to share with and pray about with, there's people here that are happy to do that. Yeah, we've got good faithful elders here who, you know, you probably know people who you can share with. Just like to encourage you to be open to one another, and sometimes with me anyway, you know, like you like to do things on your own, but that's not God's plan. God wants us to get along well and share our burdens with one another. So not to gossip, of course, but to be faithful friends to one another and to pray about things together. So I'm going to ask Michael if he could come up and close the meeting and pray. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Murray and Caroline. Let's all pray. Lord Jesus, we're so glad, Lord, that you came and you died. And Lord, this morning we remember your resurrection. We remember the power of who you are, Lord, as an evidence. As Murray and Caroline were talking about, that the gospel is a very simple message, that Christ died according to the scriptures and he rose according to the scriptures. Lord Jesus, help us to remember the simplicity of the gospel, because with all the deep theology and everything else, ultimately it all comes back to you. So we honour you this morning, Lord Jesus. We raise you up. We lift you up as the King of Kings. Lord, work in each of our lives and remind us of that hope with which you have planted in each one of us. As we walk forward into this week, Lord Jesus, may you be blessed and glorified in our lives, and may we touch others with your love and your caring. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.